Say morning from my side as well. I'm so happy to be back. Close to the end of the year. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we just come in submission this morning. Lord, that scripture in James 4 verse 7 is so powerful. It says that if we submit to you, resist the devil, he must flee. And this morning we just honor you by laying ourselves before your feet this morning as the sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, everyone did just what they thought was right in their own eyes. And there we read in Judges 17:6, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that was right in their own eyes. In Judges 3:7, it says, they did what was evil in the sight of God. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Ashtaroth. And then something happened. They down spiraled. And they became a generation that were rebelling against God. And we read that throughout the whole book of Judges. It can be summed up in this following these words, where it's been repeated over and over again, where God said that he will not allow sin to go unpunished. And if we look at Judges, you can agree this morning with me that it's almost a mirror image of the times that we live in now. Over and over we read that God's people come back and then they cry before him, and then God answers them. He sends a prophet, or he sends a judge. And then this lever will navigate them back to the ways of God. And then what will happen? The judge or the prophet dies. And what happens? The same thing happens over again. And we read injustice in the 300 years of Judges. We read seven times where they have done evil in the sight of the Lord and did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And I'm just going to read quickly, just to sum up so you can just see the picture this morning. And I sum up Judges 2, 11 to 15, then 3, 4, 6, up to 13. And it says there, the people was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. They abandoned the Lord. They went after other gods. They provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served Baals and Ashtaroth, which is Ashtar or Astor. So the anger of the Lord was kindled. And he gave them over to the plunderers. And he said to them, he sold them into the hands of the surrounding enemies. The hand of the Lord was against them for harm. They were in terrible distress. The people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord the God again and served the Baals and Ashtaroth. The anger of the Lord was kindled. And he sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. The people of Israel again did that was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened the king of Moab because they had done that was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Israel was defeated. And the people served the king of Moab 18 years. And the people of Israel again did that was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan. And he oppressed them for 20 years. But again, the people did that was evil. And we see it going on. Then Midian. And again, they were worshipping Baals and Ashtaroth. And then it comes to the Philistines for 40 years. They were in captivity again. In Hebrews 3:15, it's written, if you hear this voice today, don't be stubborn like those who rebel. What is God speaking about? He's speaking of the Old Testament book. Don't be like them. Are we not doing exactly the same in the times that we live? Let's see. We're a nation that are utterly corrupting. A nation that do not want to do what is right in the eyes of God. A government in rebellion against God. Crime out of control. Drugs, alcohol flooding into the country. Violence against the innocent. Murders and parents wiping at home families. Offering our children to these idols. Gruesome raping of women and children, abortion, pornography, and prostitution is legal. Disturbing cultural lies and perverse practices are acceptable. Weak leadership and corrupt governments, a fatherless generation. A nation that is now spiraling to self-destruction. to the majority, we submit. And we accept. We're the minority or the majority, but we accept the doctrines and false teachings and sinful practice and ideologies of the minority. That is all against our value system, our moral standards, and our faith in God. You know, it's a time where men can insist to be a woman. He can be called he, she, they, them, not fearing the Lord. A nation allowing ungodly principles, destroying the true foundation of our identity in Christ. You see, this is what going to false God is bringing a new identity in you. As in the days of Judges, we find ourselves to be a godless generation, rebelling against God. A generation that doesn't pray and worship God anymore. A godless generation, role modeling and teaching our children to be godless and bringing forth another godless generation. You see, we do not spend time in the Word. We don't read. The latest stats show that 8 out of 10 grade 5s in South Africa cannot read. How are they going to spend time in the Word of God? You see, it's a spiritual war. We mustn't look at the person. We mustn't look at to ourselves. It's a spiritual war. And Judges show us the spiritual war is between God and the angelic army. It's not between us. Not about physical world, but a spiritual world. Not about the seen, but the unseen. Not about the natural, but the supernatural. You see, and that's where the prophetic is. It's in the supernatural. It's there where the unseen is, where we cannot see. But that's where we do not warfare. We war against each other. But it's against the principalities, against the powers. So it's principalities, powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. 4 dimensions. You can read it in Ephesians 6, verse 11. And Revelation 12, 7 to 9 says, "And war erupted in heaven by these fallen angels that are led by Satan, and they was not strong enough and was cast down to the earth." You see, these principalities is still working through people in our generation. It works through objects, and even things like social media and artificial intelligence. Whenever God created something, Satan brought a counterfeit, a copycat. You see, the Satanists, they pray with an upside down cross. It's not their cross. It's just turned around, a copycat of what Jesus did on the cross. There's no power in the upside down cross because of the cross of Jesus. In the demonic realm, there's a ranking system like the military. There's those in authority and those under authority. In angelic realm, we find 2 angels whose names are mentioned a few times in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. In the Bible, we don't read of so many names of demons, but 2 that's prominent in the Bible is Baal and Ashtaroth that we read about. God has created us as humans with a physical body, male and female. But you see, we are binary sex, gender and sexuality, but God's of Satan is not binary, but appears as male and female. If we look at the transgender woke movement, on gender, on the gender spectrum. I went and I researched gender spectrum. You know what is the thing that's with gender spectrum? Die reënboog. The rainbow. And what does it mean? Transgender spectrum. It means a band of colors as a rainbow. And who does the rainbow belong to? To God. It was a covenant for us that they will never destroy this world with water again. It's got nothing to do with the enemy. But it's a copycat and a counterfeit again. You see, they, just as we are, they recruit, evangelize our children through the social media with lies like confusion of identity, doubting their sexuality and gender. Let's look at Baal and Ashtaroth that the Word is speaking about. It started in Deuteronomy 7 and 12. And I'm just going to touch on a few verses. It says, "And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you to defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your son. Listen to this. Because they will turn your sons and your daughters away from following me to serve other gods. But what did the Israelites do? They spared their lives. They didn't destroy their altars as God has commanded. And instead, they tolerated them. And they tolerated these idols. And what happened? They fell into sexual sin. And there came cultural corruption. And they lost their identity in God. See, instead of killing them, they enslaved them. And later, worshipping their idols and gods. I just want to, for a moment, stand still with Baal. Because you will think, what's that got to do with the times we live in? That is old idols. That is old demons. With the excavation of the Ras Sharma, it's a Canaanite city, in the 1930s already, they uncovered tablets that describe Baal in a person. Baal is seen as the most high-ranking demon in the spiritual realm, directly under the authority of Satan. In Judges, we see that every time that Baal, his name was mentioned, you can go read in Judges, you'll see there's a city name, Baal in, and the city's name. Why? Because he took over the territory for himself. And we still see evidence of Baal that are operating in our cities today. Political leadership change, but we see no other changes. We don't need new political leaders, new political parties. Spiritual leaders we need that will rise up to take authority over these principalities, these demons working, instead of accommodating their practices. Because that's what happened in the book of Judges. You see, unless we as a church, the body of Christ, rise up and destroy the altars of these altars, and of these works of evil and darkness, we will be in poverty. There will be violence and sexual perversion and confusion and broken families, idol worshipping, teen pregnancies, drug abuse, lawlessness, corruption, and fatherlessness. It won't change. You see, Baal is the god of fertility, prosperity, wealth, and comfort. Is that maybe your Baal in your life today? The comfort. We need it in churches as well. We need to be comfortable, pastor, in the church. We don't want to hear that. We want to be soothed in our ears. You see, Baal is a symbol of a bull. We saw it in the Old Testament, in Exodus. The bull is an example where people build it in the form of a golden calf. And they worshipped it. Remember now, this wasn't years after years infiltrating with worship of. They didn't have Baal at all with him. Moses went onto the mountain. And in that time, they built these calf. And they worshipped it. We looked at the Commonwealth game, the athletics last year, where people, where they came in with this huge iron form a statue that was on wheel, it was actually automatic, coming in with smoke coming out of his nostrils and everything, this big bull, and all these ladies dressed in white with candles, worshipping Baal, opening the athletics games. Then an appearance in the way of a steel horse and a bull's head in Paris, we saw it. You see, we're a New Testament generation that is still worshipping and under the bondages of an Old Testament demon and idols. We look at the second one, Astaroth. Also a demon that's referred to as Venus and also called the Queen of Demons, and Baal is the king. See, there's the male and the female. An ancient Mesopotamian tablet with the following inscriptions of Astra. When I, Astra, sitting in the alehouse, I am a woman and I am an exuberant young man. You see, this Greek mythology, she's the goddess of a few things. But when we read the in the alehouse, I went and I looked up the definition. What is an alehouse? An alehouse is a pub, a brewery, a tavern. So she was the goddess of the following things. What they've done in those days, they've taken over the high mountains, the high places where God's temple was, and they built this beautiful big temples with lights inside, prostitutes and liquor and alehouses operating. First it was the tavern, and alcohol. They work through intoxication. If you go read about the mythology and of the, they work through intoxication and seduction. Also as a matchmaker, is she. That's why they maybe call alcohol liquid courage. Because everything becomes beautiful when you're drunk. And when you are intoxicated, you invite unholy spirits. And you connect with these idols of those times. Remember, don't look at the statue. We don't have that. But in spirit, the demons are still operating. Also, she's worshipped as the goddess of addiction. The principality responsible for legalization and decriminalization of drugs, like Dhaka in South Africa. This is how the spirit operates in return for pleasure. There's a sacrifice of pain and death eventually. She's the goddess of prostitution, taking sexual intimacy from the inside quarters of a husband and wife into the public. She's also the spirit of pride and gender confusion and sexual experimentation. She was worshipped by hymns sent to her. You must see the syllabus of the grade 1, 2, 3, 4 in the schools. Even oral sex and those things, they are showing them how to perform it. She was worshipped by hymns sent to her. It was all about songs. Don't we hear many circular songs? What is it? Even the 80s music we love so much. It's all about highly seductive music, sexual context, and the erotic side, the music and the way they dress. She is also the goddess of transgenderism. Astro is called the morning and the evening star. That means it's covering the entire spectrum. Again, back to the spectrum, the rainbow. The goddess for love and war, covering the entire spectrum. We see men acting, dressing as women, covers the full spectrum of our lives, male, female. Education and social media, indoctrinating our youth, confusing them, and sexualizing our youth. Astro traveling. There's the name from the Bible. What's astro traveling? Soul journey, soul wandering. The goddess of pornography. You see, this principality from Satan comes in to push the boundaries of us. To push the boundaries in our border morals, the values, the decency, until there's nothing left. I mean, in my time when I was with the police, with the narcotics bureau, I mean, we arrested people and some of them went to jail because they were in possession of 2-3 pornography magazines and movies, still on Beta and VHS. They were arrested and convicted. Today, you don't even have to go to a shop. You click a button on internet and you have everything. Even available for the youngest of the children. See, this is what this idol want to do, to push the boundaries until there's nothing left. And you know what? As a church, as the body of Christ, we just sit. We sit and we do nothing about it. You see, the woke people get up and they are in the minority and they go and they're in the streets and they make themselves known with flags and everything. Where are we? You see, in Canada, bestiality is now legalized. Intercourse with an animal is no more a crime. Pedophiles is busy now fighting the high court there to not be known as pedophiles anymore, but to known as child lovers or minor attracted men. That's why we find so many people caught up in pornography. And research showed that 50% even of youth pastors have been either involved or still involved with pornography. 40% of senior pastors. 4 billion people have daily access to the billions and billions of sites of pornography. I mean, and Stephen Asterburn did a lot of research. We've got a course that we're busy with, me and my wife. And he showed that there was a 6-year-old child addicted already to pornography. A businessman that was arrested by the FBI that spent $148 million in 1 year on one of these trafficking sites with child pornography. We see it rising up in the schools, but also with the homeschoolers. Because that's what they do. They have to. They work on their computers. And we as parents say, okay, it's fine. Do we really know? Do we have a program on there like that Covenant Eyes that show us what they are doing on the on their phones and on the computer? You see, pornography is not only about the sin of the flesh, but it's about the control, the bondage that's coming with it. We can take King David. He was the first one that borrowed his eyes for pornography, a naked woman in a bath. That's why addiction, repentance, forgiveness of sins, and even deliverance and breaking the unholy soul ties is very necessary. It's not just, I'm sorry, so there's unholy soul ties. The moment we look at that, that's why Jesus told his disciples, even if you desire after a woman in your thoughts, you've already, as if you already had intercourse with her. That's what Jesus said. I want to go so far to say that when you come out of this pornography, that you will have to spend the same amount or more time in the Word of God that you spent on that site. Some of these young people, they start 9, 10, when mom and dad, until I'm sitting with them in my counseling room, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, then they get up and go to school. No sleep. 6, 7, 8 hours. And remember when that is happening on your computer, in your house and all that, there's a spirit behind it that's operating. Some more research in the ancient artwork of the goddess Astro. So there's also a mythology written about her. As the Bible, there's lots of things written about these idols. It always, in everything, portray her as naked, vulgar, perverse, seductive, and erotic. Always. And then if you look at the word erotic, where does it come from? It means desire, and it comes from the Greek word eros. That is the demon of sexual desire operating under the authority of Astra. And it's written in this Greek mythology that this is what that demon is for. In these ancient times, counterfeit churches were then built, as I said, on these highest places. And it was a place where these alehouses was, where the prostitution was. And then men would go there and women will fall pregnant. What happens? You see, there was even an abortion clinic in this mythology that they're written. There was even clinics like abortion clinics where they then would catch the baby for that and then they will offer it. And if you didn't, if this child, you fell pregnant, and this is what happened in the times today, we still do worship this god or this idol through abortion. If you fell pregnant and the baby interferes with your life of immorality or whatever what happened, you brought it. You will take this child into the temple, hand it to the counterfeit pastor, which is a priest in that church, and he will then burn this child. It goes through a chemical process and then burn this child as an offering. And then they would play the music and the drums very loud so that the cries of the babies could not be heard. You see, sound, here it comes. Satan's counterfeit for the gospel of Jesus with one big difference. Our salvation, Jesus died for us. His salvation, of his, you have to bring a sacrifice, sometimes yourself. Now, let me read. This is what I said. But then I went and I found an ancient philosopher, Plutarch, that he's written the following. Filled, this is just a translation of it, filled the area in front of the statue with loud drums and flutes so that the cries of the wailing could not reach the ears of the people. Who's he speaking of? Molech, Moloch, which is also a god named Baal, with a human body, a bull's head, and then a woman torso, associated with the sacrifice of children. We read that in Leviticus 18:21, and 18:21-5, you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, and so profane the name of your God. In Judges 3:7, we read there that they did what evil was in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served Baals and the Ashtaroth. In Judges 4:3, then the Israelites cried out to the Lord because Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And he had harshly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Why? Because they fell in sin again. And this is what I want to speak a little bit about is Deborah this morning. And what happened there? She was a woman that was a prophet. And she was anointed by God as the fourth judge in this time where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And then we read there in Judges 4:4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She was the first judge that received this new fresh anointing as a woman. Judges 4:5 shows her as a military strategist. She had two functions, to listen and to communicate. Only lies that needs the truth, demonic interference that need prophetic word and helping people. She was sitting under palm trees, counseling them. She was only the woman that was a prophet, judge, and a mother as well. The thing is, God chose a woman. Why? When his nation fell back. I'll tell you why. Maybe we live in times where God again is going to rise up a woman. Because there was no men found to be righteous before God. Is there any righteous men in the house this morning? That God could come today and say, my son, I want you to rise up. You need to break down the altars of this idols in your city. You see, and why was she chosen? Because she had the anointing that Barak did not have. You see, Barak was the man, and it's so, you'll see later on, they write about him in the New Testament. And what is this anointing she had? Anointing is literally God's flesh, God on flesh, doing what flesh cannot do. That's when God's anointing comes on you, supernatural things can start happening. We read in Judges 4 that Deborah summoned Barak to lead the battle against the Canaanites. He agreed, but he said, you know what? Only if you accompany me. A woman had to accompany him. But she's never mentioned with the great men of faith. I wonder why. Something nobody can answer to me. She's not mentioned where the Bible speaks about the great men of faith in Hebrew 11 verse 32. And I think they're 22. It speaks of Gideon, Barak, that she had to accompany, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, and gained that was promised, who shut the mouths of the lions. Deborah was not mentioned. You see, because his warriors destroyed all the Canaanites, yes, but the king, Sisera, who seeked refuge, what did Deborah do? She went to him and said, listen, you will take over, but you will not kill the king. It will be done by a woman called Yahil. And that happened just as she said. You see, everything rises and falls with leadership. You see, when a leader was anointed in the Old Testament, they would pour oil on him, symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. The oil would then run from the head and sometimes onto the body and overflow onto the ground. Because there was a flow of the oil of the Holy Spirit. The overflow represents, in our time as well, the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that works in us, through us. You see, sometimes it's working in us, but we do not allow that it works through us. How are we going to make disciples? How are we going to bring the light in a dark world in the times that we live now? Just look what's happening in Israel. If people don't wake up, there will be no hope. There comes a warning in the New Testament as well about these idols. It says there in 1 Corinthians 10, 7 to 11, and then 21. Don't worship idols as some of them did. As the scripture said, the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up and have a wild party. We should not commit sexual sins as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 of them died because of their sin. We should not test Christ as some of them did. Because of that, they were killed by snakes. And don't complain as some of them did. Because they complained. They were killed by the angel that destroys. The things that happened to those people are examples. They were written to be warnings for us. We live in the same time of that past histories. And then that, well, I think it's 21 that says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and then go drink the cup that honors demons. You cannot share a meal at the Lord's table and then go share a meal that honors their demons. You see, our battle, our greatest battle in the times that we live, is the tolerance that we have for sin. The tolerance of the Baals and the Astars in our time. The addiction of porn, alcohol, food, tobacco, unhealthy habits. Maybe this morning you are here and your marriage is dry. Maybe your life is just miserable because of past rejections. Or remember, that's how these strongholds work. They are the ones that bring rejection, abuse in your life. And then we regret God later. So we don't have nothing. Where were you, God, when I was abused? You see, maybe you are there this morning, just all you do is fault finding. There's maybe unforgiveness in your heart this morning. Or you struggle with your identity. You are confused. You have gender issues maybe this morning. Maybe you are doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord that blocks that anointing to flow in and through your life to make a difference in the world. Remember, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we cannot choose to whom, why, and when the anointing must flow. That's God's decision. We can't force the Holy Spirit to invade, and it comes. We can't force it. It's on God's time. You see, the flow of the anointing surpasses all intellect and education. We can't actually work it out, mathematical. You see, you will struggle to do evil things in the sight of the Lord when you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then you will struggle to do those evil things. Because it's not always the smartest and the people with all the knowledge who gets the anointing. It's not them, it's the humblest. You see, if you come today and you repent and you make yourself humble, and you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you will study the Bible and pray. You see, the Bible is the only book I know of. How many of you have read many books in your life? How many of those books did the author come and sit next to you to teach you what you're reading? The flow of the anointing works through Christ and then through His body. Because His name means, Christ means anointed. And Jesus means Savior. You see, if you sit here this morning, you want to make a difference in this world we're living in. And you want to bring hope in this fallen world that tolerates idols and evil practices. The church needs to repent and come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the highest decree which sets us apart. Are you ready, or are you really set apart as holy for God? Like a toothbrush, it's the most holiest thing in the world. Only got one owner. One owner. Are you set apart for God? Are you that holy this morning for Him? You see, in the Pentecost movement and churches, you always see, they really say, that man is shining. He is oily. He's oily because he's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But see, we don't have to run after the anointed to be anointed, to receive the anointing. Or be in a competition with another one's anointing. Say, God, but I'm in the church 25 years. And this new brother that came in, he's saved the other day. He's laying hands on and he's healing. You know why? Because he made himself available as a vessel for the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we want the anointing so badly, but it doesn't come. Remember that the anointing only comes when it's needed. And it's not your needs and my needs. It's when God makes a decision, it's needed. And that we can come as we come before in intercessioning and praying before God for people. And God sees our heart. Because sin is not the bad things you do. Sin is all about the condition of your heart. What is the condition of your heart this morning? Can God really freely anoint you and use His Spirit through you to reach the world? To bring down the altars of these demons and all these idols that I've mentioned? Remember, there's a warning. Every time there is an anointing and the flow of the Spirit, there will be opposition from the enemy. Try to stop it. You see, when God anointed the judges as leaders, the enemy immediately rose up in resistance. Many are called God's chosen, but do not live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, and sometimes we fear that because we know, we see in other people's life what they have to do. They have to sacrifice many things in their life to flow under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we keep away and we lock the Holy Spirit up inside. You see, it's time to repent, invite, and allow the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint you this morning. So we can walk in that obedience with God and destroy the altars of all these idols. I want to give you a revelation God gave me this morning. It says, when you tolerate sin, Satan will dominate and win. I'll say it again. When you tolerate sin, Satan will dominate and win. And I sense this morning, there's Deborahs in the house. Where's the Gideons? Where's the Baraks? But there's Deborahs in the house this morning. We sometimes find ourselves in the arena of the uncommon, which means that you are the only one that serves the Lord. So you are the one that's crazy, that's a Jesus freak, that is doing funny things. In the uncommon, in the world, there's an arena of the uncommon, but it's only the anointing that function in uncommon seasons. Listen, only by the anointing that you can function under uncommon times. And you'll find you sometimes there at work, wherever you are, everybody is actually mocking whatever. Listen, ask the Lord this morning to anoint you with the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what will happen when His hand come in movement. Let's come today, receive the anointing, and God's hand can start move. Like Deborah, God has a palm tree for each one of us this morning. In Psalms 92:12, it's written that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, no matter how dry it is. And you know what? That's what a palm tree means. To flourish, to thrive. Don't you want to do that? But see, we want financially, we want to thrive and flourish. Not that that's wrong at all. You see what happens with the anointing? The anointing brings order and keep things together. Many churches are closing down. Many churches go through major splits, which means the anointing, the Spirit is gone. Because there's nothing to bring unity. There's nothing to glue them together. There's nothing to bring order in the church. You see, if you look just at the process when they make glue, they take animal skins and they cook it for a long period in a pot. And then at a certain time, all these gooey stuff, I can say, just comes to the surface and they scoop that off and that becomes the glue. Maybe it's time for God to turn up the heat this morning in your life so that you can start cooking inside and the anointing can start surface and people can see what you are and what God has called you for. You see, when we go through this heat, when the fire of God comes, it's not a pleasant experience always. People want this Hollywood feeling of this great and goosebumps. The Holy Spirit is nothing about goosebumps. It's about sacrifice and perseverance and endurance. It's going to take a lot of hard work for the flesh to keep up with the anointing. You see, only the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us can bring this anointing to the surface. God works from inside out. The time is now where everything is at the lowest point maybe in your life, in the country. And this is when God wants to work. When you say, but God, I've got nothing left. And He says this morning, my son, my daughter, thank you. I've been waiting 20 years, 25 years, 30 years for this day where you stop trying doing my work for me. You see, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the word says, when that comes, he will raise up a standard against the enemy. Don't worry for the waves that are coming. God will raise up a standard against that. When God raises up His standard, it's basically if you stand and there's a tsunami coming and God suddenly takes the beach and it lifts it up 150 meters, it's only a small little wave breaking against the rocks. God will lift the standard. Our generation compromised with idols, with sin, and we are disobedient. But we don't want to speak these phrases off in our vocabulary. We don't want to speak about idols and compromising with sin. No, because we justify our actions. Everybody does it, Pastor. Well, you know what? That's Old Testament rules and dogma. It's not really for our times. Times have changed. It's true that times have changed for the worst years, but God has not changed. God has not changed. He still says today, you cannot receive a blessing from me while you are disobedient and rebelling against me. And let me read you the shock. 1 Samuel 15:23. I am the Lord, for rebellion, listen carefully, is the sin of witchcraft. When you are rebelling against God, you are busy with witchcraft and you're busy with these idols of the Old Testament. And then it says, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. Are you stubborn this morning? And God says then, because you rejected my word, I will reject you. Whew, that is harsh. I don't want to be rejected by God. You see, rebellion shuts your spiritual eyes and ears because it attacks your spiritual senses. Remember, as you've got senses, see, hear, taste, and talk and all that, you've got spiritual senses as well. Ezekiel 12:2 says, son of man, and this daughters as well, you dwell in the midst of rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Rebellion brings deafness and blindness in the spirit. God says again this morning, I will not let your sins go unpunished. That is why our generation finds it in the spiral caught in disobedience. We are doing what's right in our own eyes and evil what is in the eyes of God. As you sit there this morning, I want you to close your eyes this morning. Just close your eyes this morning. And I want you just in your heart this morning just to pray with me. Say, Father, I acknowledge these fruits of rebellion in my life. I come this morning before you, Jesus, by your precious blood to cut off these roots of rebellion in my life. These roots maybe of my ancestors, this generational curses, whatever, bloodline curses. Remove every demonic nourishing source of the fruit of rebellion in my life this morning. Lord, your word is clear, and we heard it now that in Samuel says that when I have operated and allowed rebellion to rule and reign in my life, it is a sin of witchcraft, and my stubbornness is just like as evil as the worshipping the idols. I ask this morning, God, for your forgiveness, and I pray that you would cleanse me from all the unrighteousness that the spirit of rebellion has produced in my life. Father, I come this morning and I ask you to forgive, to restore me by your redeeming blood, Jesus. When I willingly diverted and offered and sacrificed my anointing, my calling, my purpose, my spiritual gifting, my authority, my health, even my relationship to the spirit of rebellion. I choose today to cast off the works of Satan working through rebellion. Lord, come and please remove all these ungodly spiritual bindings and soul ties that I empowered in my life, Lord. Idolatry, rebellion, and jealousy. Even those of my ancestors. Lord, please set me as a seal upon your heart. For your love is stronger than death. I seek a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit this morning. Fill me fresh and anew, Lord. With your presence and with your power. I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, Lord. Anoint us to your purpose and your calling. Lord, to bring down these walls of rebellion and idols in my life. Father, we come this morning and we surrender to you, trusting that through your anointing this morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, I just want to honor you this morning for the amazing God that you are. Lord, let this country not be like the the ones of justice, for of the book of Judges. Lord, we come this morning. We repent it. We are in unity this morning. You say in Psalm 133 that there where the brothers are in unity, you will command your blessing. Command your blessing and your anointing this morning. Because in 133 it speaks of Aaron that was standing and the oil was poured over his head and it ran through his beard, onto his cloak, onto his sandals, onto the ground. Command your blessing and anointing upon us this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that everything that we receive this morning is only by your grace, your mercy on the cross of Calvary. Thank you that you've loved us long before we were even born. And this morning, Lord, I feel in the house that your Spirit is moving. And Lord, this morning, I want to come and declare and decree your love and your righteousness. Because we know, Lord, in the apostolic, that flows with the apostolic is one thing, everything in love, and it brings righteousness, and it brings correction. And Lord, if there's anybody that still sits here this morning with this horrible thing, I just sense this morning in my spirit. What is your name?
Coco.
Can I give you a word? Can you just type it? It's very important to record it. Stand up. Nothing funny is going to happen. That you are so special and God loves you so much that he wants a word for you. He's got a word for you. You are recording? Are you waiting for it? Help me record. But you do record this. Okay, can we also make sure that we record this and we can maybe make it available to her? Is that possible? Okay. Coco. When I came in this morning and I sat down, and I'm normally, I was never a person that had much empathy with people, and there's lots of love in me, but I'm not really that one that's flown the prophetic and feel other people's hurt. But I sensed this morning through the Spirit, you're hurt. And the Lord says, Coco, no more. You cannot build on everything, that horrible things. You know what it was, the abuse. I see severe. The Lord just showed me such severe abuse in your life. That there was nights that you cried yourself to the sleep. The next day that you were even thinking, I see that it was times when you wanted to take your own life. You wanted to die. You did not want to live anymore. He said, Lord, I don't want this anymore. And I can see in your heart, it's not that you hate God, but what I sense this morning in the Spirit is that you are angry with God because of these things. And he comes this morning and says, Coco, no, I love you so much. And the Lord says, he sees the question in your heart is, God, where were you through my abuse, even sexual abuse, where were you? He says, you know what, Coco, right there where I was with my son was crucified next to you. And the Lord says, he's going to turn around. You just have to forgive. The key this morning in your life, the Lord says, is forgiveness. You have to forgive and set free. Because you stand on this little ledge and around you is nothing. If you turn around, you're going to fall. To your left, to your right, there's nowhere to go. But God says, you've got the bridge. You've got the bridge's key this morning to unlock yourself. Forgiveness is not about correcting what that person has done to you, but it's freeing you. And the Lord says, this morning, I want to free you. Okay.
Father, I thank you this morning for Coco, Father. I thank you this morning that you open up, Lord God, this jail door. I thank you that you set her free this morning of every emotion, of every hurt, of every pain, of all fear, of anxiety, of stress, whatever it is this morning she's carrying, Father. We thank you that you're removing this burden, this false burden that she's been carrying with her for all these years. Thank you that you are totally setting her free this morning of those fearful feelings, Father. And I thank you that you love us so much, that you love us so much that you saw her this morning. Thank you that you send her here because you had an appointment with her. Lord, I thank you that you do not stop this morning. What you've started within her, Lord, you will be faithful, the Bible says, to complete the work within her. I thank you that she will feel your presence inside of her, that when she walks, she will know that you are with her, Father. I thank you that, Lord, I even see there are times when she asked for a sign and said, where are you? Who are you? Show me the way. So I thank you today, Lord, that your word, you will show her the way through your word, Father. And I thank you that you in this morning just want to take like a blanket and just surround her with your love this morning. I thank you that you protect her, Father, in this season, that you are busy opening up her thought patterns even to see herself the way you see her, Father. And I thank you this morning that you break all those thoughts, all those curses, even from a young girl that said you're not good enough, you're not going to make it. I thank you that you say this day, you will make it. I am with you. I am the Lord your God. Did I not say to Moses, I am who I am? And therefore I'm saying to you today, Coco, I am who I am, and I'm raising you up in this season, and you will stand up like that Deborah. You will rise up and you will tell others about my goodness. You don't see it now, but I am are with you in this day. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Coco, you can sit down. And while my wife was praying, now this is a funny vision that I saw. I saw you have a cupboard with shoes in, and in this cupboard there's a pair of shoes you haven't worn for a long time, but you can't get rid of it. The Lord says today is a prophetic action. You're going to take that shoes. And that will be your symbol of forgiving and setting yourself free today, and throw that shoes away in Jesus' name. Okay. Can we sing a song and then we can close off? God is good. All the time? Yeah, the love of the Lord. There's just nothing like the love of Jesus. And have a blessed Sunday.
House, oh Lord, singing praises, songs of joy. Worthy of honor and worthy of praise, glory and power to your name. Is good to praise you, Lord, and to make music to your name. We proclaim your love, oh God, your righteousness, we pray. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Your mercy flow like a river wide. Healing hearts and lifting lives. Faithful and true forever the same. We lift our hands and we bless your name. It's good to praise you, Lord, and to make music to your name. We proclaim your love, O God, your righteousness we pray. Praise your name. 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 We praise your name. More faith. Praise your name. More hope. Praise your name. More peace. Praise your name.